Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And folks, it is now or never, and I hope that you're starting to get that. I mean, hopefully we're motivating you and, you know, actually figuring out how you can get engaged and how you can get involved. As a matter of fact, we kind of tell you what to do here. Now, we don't force you what to do, but we do help you understand how you can make a real significant impact. As a matter of fact, as I was talking to some individuals just recently in private conversations with each of them, I basically, you know, kind of point out the fact that as you start standing on the Constitution, as you start leading and uniting people on the Constitution, you're basically walking down the path of, one, becoming a statesman and statesperson, however you want to call it, gender, not specific gender, I'll just say that. And because as you can tell, sometimes I get tongue-tied, and as a matter of fact, at the end of the last show, I barely got it out right before the outgoing, you know, promo. But anywho, we try to help you because we believe that there are plenty of people today that could be the James Madisons, Thomas Jeffersons, Roger Shermans, and those leaders of thought as you start understanding the fundamental principles of liberty, that you too can be a statesperson of liberty. And as I kind of laid this out, you know, what's going to end up happening? Because we realize that there's rhinos and there's these idiots, these people that really believe that they're tyrants. They believe that they're better than you and I because somehow they're in power. Well, we can take that power back from them. And people deserve, in America, people deserve those who are in public service to actually serve them and their posterity and protect their liberties. Not, it is typical that people do aggrandize themselves, but it's time to start taking that turn back towards those principles. And if you do so, you have the opportunity to rise to the top like a Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Adams, and so forth, the rest of these people. Now, as I go through my historical view of all of these people, none of these men were perfect. As a matter of fact, anybody that talks to me on a personal level understands that, you know, Thomas Jefferson was a larger-than-life figure, but his failures were larger-than-life as well. You know, Madison was really a humble guy, but even he himself had his shortcomings. I mean, he lacked self-confidence. Here's the guy that was the father of the Constitution that, you know, actually took time when he was on his journey. I think he was coming home from Princeton when he stopped and had a prayer and just prayed that he might become a significant figure somehow in life because he just saw no way that his frail, small, I mean, I think he's the shortest president we've ever had. He was the most health-ridden, even though he actually lived into his 80s. But I mean, here's a man that really lacked a lot of self-confidence. And then there was, you know, Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, through, I guess this is, you know, the Lord's humor in taking somebody that was truly a tyrant and allowing them to kind of go through their struggles in the office after all of these failures to harden him and to prepare him to do a very specific thing. And I believe every one of us has the opportunity to come to our full potential as a public servant in serving others. And America deserves and wants good, righteous public servants who actually support the Constitution. It is a very small group of people that are willing to throw out the Constitution just so they can have what they want. You know, we're at a point today where that number of people that want to throw out the Constitution is increasing and increasing because they do not understand it and they truly believe that this globalist plan is the better way to go. So, as you know, we're also sponsored by republicreview.org, and we actually want you to also know that we're we're going to be having that special message for Representative, I believe it's Green, and she's out of Georgia. So on Friday, we're going to have a very special message just for her, okay? Now, we also want you to go out and get your subscription for the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. The Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is a newspaper out of Wyoming that is covering what the heck is going on and how they're attacking the rhinos and how they're going after. And I believe you're going to actually kind of see in print what is being said, what is being done in the process of trying to take the Wyoming State House this year and giving it to those who are constitutionally footed. It's now or never, folks. We need to get the state of Wyoming standing up. So when you hear me talk about contributions, the people in Wyoming need your love more than anybody, because that's the cowboy state. And if we can get the cowboy to take a stand in the saddle, I believe the rest of the nation will notice. And I believe that they will actually create. This is one of the things I point out regarding Republic Review in this process. As soon as one state takes the stand, and what better than the state right in the center of America, the smallest, the least populated state, to finally get it and take a stand and then poke all the other states in the eye and lasso them and, you know, wrangle them down and basically tie them to the truth that they too have to do what they're doing. They have to move down this path of holding the federal government fully accountable. All public servants and all governments must be fully accountable to the Constitution. This is the beautiful thing about patriotism in America. We're not supposed to be supporting the government. We're supposed to be supporting the Constitution. We're not supposed to be supporting an ideology. And that's what's going on. And that's how Representative Green is basically under attack. And all of the anybody that takes a stand for liberty will be attacked. Unfortunately, too many of these people don't understand what's really going on. And I don't think Representative Green really understands what's really going on. I think she knows that this is a good and evil fight, and she's trying to do all the good she possibly can. So anyway, as you know, we also have, you know, these constitutional moments and so forth. And in helping you understand the Constitution, go to Constitution Education US. And when I say constitutional moments, every day, every minute of this show that we air this show, and every day we air this show, we're trying to make constitutional minutes for you, so that you can actually start doing the exact same thing. I know that there have been, and I don't want to say I'm the source of inspiration. I truly believe the Lord's the source. I mean, I may say things and I may help, you know, your mind, you know, make some shifts. But when it really comes down to you putting the pen on paper, that's got to be the Lord doing that. That's not me. And we all need to do this because, as I said yesterday, you know, the sign of the times is slapping us in the face, folks. We're running out of time. This is why now or never, right? Okay. So Constitution Education US is a great place to actually start expanding your constitutional minutes and extending your constitutional prowess and understanding the Constitution. Think the world of Keith Broders. He's a good man. I think he's a better man than me. So by all means, I think he's a better man than me. I want to be public on that. I think a lot of you are better than me. So what's holding you up? Okay, so as we look at, you know, these these many things that we do, you know, you need support, and you also need to have the infrastructure that you need in today's technological world to help people focus on what they need to focus on. So you have to have a domain. You need to have email services and those types of things. This is why we promote AdLocal. So before we can even start funding you, you may need to pick up the bill and getting organized. as soon as we start broadcasting and helping you by our broadcast through radio and making radio relevant in your community and in your county and neighboring counties, as we do that, then we can start picking up those bills. But you may have to, because I've been doing it. I've been actually covering all of these costs out of my retirement. Since 2013, I've actually taken, yes, I actually took loans against my 401k so that I could do some of these things, so I could print the books and so forth. And I've never once made a profit in a given year. I'm just thankful that I'm able to be, at this point in time, still a legitimate LLC. And so one of the things that, you know, we're doing and what we want to help you do is help you get the resources you need. And this is why Ad Local is the platform you want to get onto, because the owner is solid in committing to support patriots. Just want you to understand that. There's no other ISP I know out there that is providing those types of services that can actually take that position. Because many of them, MailChimp, you know, Constant Contact, I have had patriots tell me that they have been interrupted and or deplatformed by these big tech giants. Get the heck off of them. Okay, done with the plugging. We have our comment line, 425-270-5416. And we're really thankful that some of you are starting to use that. So with that, and we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to stumble into the actual promos like I almost did last night. Or I should say yesterday, in closing out the show last night. But anyway, we'll be right back getting into the structure and into infrastructure right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we're talking about infrastructure and these subcommittees, right? And so what are these subcommittees? So let's get back to the top level. As you start organizing, as you start breaking down your districts in your county, and then you start identifying, because you need to grow your organization to have what we call precinct committee officers in the party. You need to have, in the unorganized militia, you need to have, let's say, a precinct, not officer, but a precinct leader. I don't care what you call them. you can call them a precinct committee officer, but I would prefer you actually use a different naming or a naming convention that's more apropos towards citizen vigilance. And it could be a precinct statesman or statesperson, right? A PSP, right? Whatever you want to call them, because, you know, everybody's in love with acronyms and in love with labeling. This is your organization, but you need to be organized the way the political organization breaks down your county, because that's how you organize against each of the commissioners, against each of these people. Or not, and I hate to make it sound like it's adversarial. Our goal is to make a non-adversarial government. Currently, we have an adversarial government. So we have to take a position against, or if you want to call it a verification committee or verification officer, that we want to ensure that everybody, because the bottom line of these petitions is just that, to hold government and public servants accountable. You understand? This is all about holding them accountable and making sure that they know that they will be held accountable, that there's no room for self-aggrandizing. There's no room for violating our constitutions. And that's with an S, constitutions, plural. Okay? So as we look at these organizations, each organization will need to create a county level committee or your county organization, not precincts, because technically your precinct statesperson is supposed to be actually helping everybody in that precinct understand what needs to be done and why their vigilance in holding people accountable is critical. Now, what you need to understand here is that those folks, anybody, just like when we looked at the Tory Acts, remember the very initial Tory Acts, they wanted people to identify who wanted to support the revolution and who didn't. We need to actually start understanding who wants to. So you may need to have some conversations, and this may be a difficult part, or we need to get down that path as we go down our neighborhoods and start knocking on doors to say, hey, we've created this organization we want to tell you about, and it is all about holding our public servants and our government accountable to the Constitution. What are your feelings on that? Is that something that you'd like to talk about and get involved in, or is that something you're adamantly against, or what have you? Let them just tell you right up front, I'm not interested. If they're not interested in holding public servants and government accountable, highlight them. Because they're right now participating in a constitutional process called voting that it's questionable why they should be allowed to vote. And I say this very sincerely, folks. Every U.S. citizen is obligated to support the Constitution against enemies, foreign, and actually support it and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. Which means that if they're not willing to do the role of a citizen in serving, then they have to be highlighted as a potential inhabitant and not a, and we should actually question their citizenship. Yes, we should question their citizenship. Doesn't mean that they can't live here. It just means that maybe they shouldn't be voting and participating. Now, when we talk about voting and participating, we're talking about voting for representation. We're talking about voting because I honestly believe that an inhabitant should actually be able to vote. And I believe that if you own property, whether you're, you know, if you're a legal inhabitant, not an invader, but you're a citizen, but you're not technically a citizen because you don't support the Constitution, we still have to give them the ability to defend their property and their interests in their community and at large and so forth. So they may not get representation and they may not be able to vote on certain things, but they should be able to vote when it comes to taxes that would directly affect them. I believe that that's the – if we're trying to create a blind form of government. Government basically operates best. It is perfect when it operates blindly.
and understanding and giving everybody the ability to engage at the level they're willing to be engaged in. So in other words, it doesn't mean that they can't become a citizen. They just have to be willing to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. If you're not, then it's no harm. You're not going to get kicked out. The only people that do get kicked out are those who are actually raising tyranny, those who are protesting, those who are demanding the communist revolution move forward. Those people actually have to go. This is why we've talked about the Tory Acts. This is why we want to use the actual footing and standing that our framers used in getting rid of the British loyalists. They had no right to stay here. They were people that wanted and were willing to operate to undermine us. We can't allow enemies to stay within our family. When we have people that come into our home and start occupying our home and trying to become a family member, but they're actually destructive to the family, we can't allow that to happen. Any good parent will realize that their job and obligation in protecting their family has to come first. Not just to be nice and let that toxic person stay there, whether they're extended family, in family, or what. You do not and cannot allow toxicity to exist amongst you because it will consume you. I learned that lesson. As a matter of fact, that's one of the lessons you go through. I think, you know, if you're going into college and you kind of start realizing, hey, you know, my priority has to be on my education at this point in time, and you have to quickly start looking at, you know, how is it that I'm losing my focus when all of a sudden you're not getting things done because you've got this friend that always wants to go party. Well, hey, that's a toxic person. You got to tell that friend, hey, you know, I love your friendship, want to be your friend, but we can't do these things to this level anymore. You're going to have to give me some time for the next 4 years so I can focus on my degree. And if that's a real friend, they'll support that. But if they're not and they're very selfish, oh, come on, you got to come out with me. We got to go. Then that's where you say, okay, we have to kind of sever our ties. Even with family, you have to do that when you are making a very specific investment in your life or, you know, making a decision in changing your life. There's certain things, like if all of a sudden you take up Christianity and you want to take up sobriety, you stop going to the bars. You stop going to the parties. You stop doing those, living riotously so that you can do what you are supposed to do. It's that simple. This isn't a far-reaching concept. So as you break down your counties and as you're, you know, building up the districts and your precincts, because that's how the political process breaks down a county, by precincts. That is the lowest common denominator of every square inch of the county. So you need to have statespersons, right? So you need to have these statespersons actually helping people understand the importance of their citizenship, their obligation, those types of things. And then we start creating, as we get organized, we start actually creating these committees, if you want to call them focus groups. You can call them focus groups instead of committees. Again, this is a template. This is not how you must do it. You're an unorganized militia, but it's best to call it something that actually interfaces with the actual entities or roles and responsibilities and powers that we want to put our arms around. So when we talked about these committees, we told you that the first and foremost committee that you create, because this is where you start teaching people as well, is the Constitutional Compliance Committee. Now, the first four are kind of administrative committees: Constitutional Compliance, First Amendment Petition, Training and Education. But training, like I told you, will actually advance into a broader educational committee overlooking all facets of education within that county, from universities to community colleges to tech schools, those types of things, just to make sure that they are fulfilling their civil responsibility. So what is education supposed to do? education is supposed to actually help the enlightenment and the growth of enlightenment in your community, right? It's, if you understand enlightenment and education, they're supposed to be working together to elevate your community. So you have to, you know, create a good mission for each of these committees, and your education committee cannot have any tolerance towards debasing immorality and those types of things. As a matter of fact, historical evidence proves that immorality, historical evidence, the piles of empirical data prove that immorality and those types of things destroy and debase the community as well as the people. And so we have to start using the empirical data as we start creating these missions, but you should have a kind of a mission statement for each of these committees as well. It's kind of like a little company. A company has to have a mission, and these committees are basically for your entire county. These are little companies to oversee and manage. We will be right back after these two promos. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
How many of you are familiar with the scarlet letter in public shaming, that concept of public shaming? As I was listening to that promo regarding our birthright and our birth responsibility in holding people accountable, you know, we have to hold ourselves accountable too. And we actually have to have, I think we have to have a humane way of doing this. I believe that we would be better served if we actually hold people to the standards of supporting and defending the Constitution. So what better way to do that than when a person is going to vote, they have to be reminded that when they sign that registry, this, we have to do this so that we hold ourselves accountable. We should sign a legal statement in participating in voting that we understand that we are obligated, legally obligated, to support the Constitution as a voting citizen of the United States and of the good state of the republic that you reside, that you are legally obligated to support the Constitution and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic.
which means that if you vote for somebody like AOC, then you now need to be scrutinized as to whether you should be a citizen anymore. We need to have a very honest and open conversation, and we need to actually look at each other and say, hey, look, you know, you may have a right to not like our government, but there is a process of change. You do not get the ability to use political compromise to steal our rights. The law is the law, and you are legally violating the law as well as your oath and everything else. We are not a democracy. You may have created this facade that gets everybody to believe that we are a democracy, when the truth is that we are a constitutional republic, that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And if you do not believe that, then you are no longer entitled to be a U.S. citizen, public servant, and at that point in time, we really need to question whether you should actually be trusted to remain as an inhabitant. This is a difficult and tough conversation, folks, but leaders do not shy from the truth. Leaders stand up and say, this is what we have to do. Why is it that nobody's making these comments? Are we really lacking leadership? Absolutely we are. And that's why I've said, and that's why I will continue to tell you, that you have the opportunity to become, of this century and of this new era of this republic, the opportunity to be known as, like Crystal Blessing, she becomes a statesperson, she becomes a leader, she rises up in Arizona. She could be the name Crystal Blessing could become like Thomas Jefferson as we look at Thomas Jefferson today. I mean that, folks. And I know that she's one that is really out there doing this, and I'm just calling her out just to pick on her. I'm sorry. I'm not picking on her. And she knows that. But, you know, she's one of the very many people. I don't have regular phone calls with her. I have regular phone calls with a lot of other people, and I'll be working more with her, I'll be working more with you. See, that's my dyslexia a little bit. Anywho. What we're trying to help you actually become the leaders, because a good leader develops leaders. A good leader develops people to replace them so that they can continue to climb and rise to their fullest potential. A petty person allows a person to, you know, become a part of an organization, but they keep them down, even though this person could actually excel beyond us. When we run into people like that, we actually have to unleash them and allow them, but we need to make sure that what they're doing as they rise to the top is the right thing, that we have honest conversations, because sometimes power goes to one's head. And next thing you know, that power in one's head kind of outweighs what is the right thing to do. And they actually start making choices and decisions that are contrary to what is best for society, what is best for our posterity. So anyway, back to these groups or these committees, these sub-organizations within your unorganized militia. There are going to be people that will want to be a part of a committee. There may be people that will want to be a part of a couple of committees. You cannot limit the people that participate. What you want to do is you want to limit the people who lead so that you can't lead both committees. Now, at the very beginning, you may have to do that. You may actually, if you need to stand up an infrastructure committee and, you know, at this point in time, because infrastructure is huge. It's a huge part of our everyday life. And again, it is a part of what we need to survive. Infrastructure is what we need as a state, as a community to survive. You got to have roads. You got to have communications. You got to have, you know, the public services and those types of things. So it is a very critical piece of your county and your unorganized militia and having a committee and overseeing that. And this, in this committee, you need to start having the open and honest debate, because I believe if you're open and honest, you will realize that you cannot have a free market in your county on electricity. There's no such thing as a free market. There's no competitive market on electricity. So in other words, these corporations that are profit-based, because profit-based is great when it is competitive, when you have farmers growing food and they're competing at the grocery store in buying their tomatoes or somebody else's tomatoes. That is awesome. And so when you have local farmers actually competing against these big farmers, and as a matter of fact, I think it's really important that these groceries, and just to talk and go down this little path, it's important that your local grocer actually identifies what is being brought in by corporate, you know, like your corporate tomatoes and your locally grown tomatoes organically. Today, they actually tell you organic and what have you. And there are large corporations that are growing organic. And I'm sure I could bring in experts that can talk to you about what, you know, how that's just a facade itself. Getting truly organic and talking about Crystal Blessings, I know she understands this. This is a passion of hers because we've talked a little bit about this. So I know for a fact that when you're growing things from the land, one of the things I kind of learned, and it kind of goes to allergies as well, because this is kind of interesting. When you have an allergy of certain pollens in the area, you move to an area, you go, wow, I've never had these allergies before, because you're being introduced to new pollens. One of the best ways to actually overcome that allergy is by eating bee pollen of the area, because now as you eat it, you can actually, and I know that there are some people that actually have some pretty bad doctors, so I'm not giving you medical and doctor's advice, but one of the ways that you build an immunity up to the pollen, you know, the pollen in the air, by eating the bee pollen, this is the same thing with eating the fruits of the local community, because there's just something about fruits and foods and those local foods that are just more nutritious and healthier for you than buying the stuff that's coming in off of the international commodities market from South America or what have you, because you have no idea what and how they're growing. There's the standards of growing food outside of the United States is completely different. And you can easily find yourself either sick or possibly dying from, you know, bad bacteria or what have you, because some of that food may have been grown in human waste, which is not healthy, especially for us, because we've kind of purged our society of that. There's actually other cultures and societies and nations that still grow food using human waste. You can't have that. Anyway, I digress. Back to this infrastructure committee. This infrastructure committee really needs to look at what are the services, are they competitive? Now, when we talk about cell phone service, is cell phone service really competitive? Because you have to look at who owns the towers in your county. Because whoever owns the towers is actually taking a slice of the pie. So if you really want to have competitive cell phone services, you want to make sure that, like, Verizon actually has a huge advantage over in cell phone services. Most everybody that I've ever talked to that has played around with cell phone service, almost every single one of them has said, you know, Verizon has the best network. That's because they own most of those towers. Now, things may have changed over the last 3, 4, 5 years, but that's how it was 5 years ago. So you have to look at, you have to do the due diligence and research of looking at who are the owners in your county as well as state and nation. So you really have to start looking as a committee, focusing on the county, but sometimes your research needs to take you out to a national level or international level, so that you can then start understanding and putting things in context and making all things equal to say, wow. So the reason why we have cell phone services or problems is because this one cell phone company owns all of our towers, and they charge and they actually throttle, because one of the things they love to do is they love to make sure that their service is the best service coming off of that tower. And they do those. It's the same thing with internet. It's the same thing with satellite communications. Anyway, we'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
So as we start looking at infrastructure, we also have to look at the public services, water, and so forth. One of the things that we have to be cognizant of, because, yeah, clearly, there can be a real blessing in having a good public water system. I mean, Rome instituted that, and it becomes essential, but it cannot be profit-based. Why is it that we allow water to be, you know, tiered so where if you want to use more water, we're going to punish you? That in itself is repugnant in a Republican form of government. Why is it that we're not, you know, government has a responsibility to ensure that everybody has enough water that they need and or want. I understand if you happen to live in a desert area that is not conducive, like Somalia, that is not conducive to, you know, having irrigation, water, growing crops and so forth, there may not be a good reason or justification for people to live in a very hostile environment for life. And when you're living in the desert, that's a hostile environment. So to move out there and to say, you know, we're going to make it possible for you to live. And then they say, well, but we're going to limit how much water you can have and ration. That right there is a red flag, if you ask me. A huge red flag. Especially in some places, because as I understand it, like Las Vegas and Nevada and parts of California, where people don't even have water rights. You can't even have a well or anything like that. I can't imagine how government can justify itself in saying that people can't have access to the property that they own and what is underneath their feet. Why is it that we allow government to control us to that level? Remember, the two objects of government, to protect life and to protect property, not to take your property, not to limit you from access to your property, but to protect your property, that it's yours. Why is it that they do these things? Ah, because corporations and businesses have convinced them that by doing so, it helps their business, it helps government as a business itself. Because who is running public services? Your government. They don't want to compete with you. They want you because all of a sudden, all these people, subscribers, become just that, a subscriber and a form of revenue. the people should never be viewed and seen as a form of revenue. That becomes an indictment against a free republic. So, as you start opening up these infrastructure conversations, you have to start looking at what is it going to take, because legally, there may have been people that said, we think it's okay. You need to actually make sure that it is not okay that government creates these, we'll call them parasite corporations or utility companies, to actually bleed you. It's the same thing with these toll roads. So what ends up happening with the toll road is they say, well, because I've seen this. This happens in California. This happens on the East Coast. It happens everywhere where they say, you know what? We need to create a bridge. Going around this river, you know, is just not good. So we want to create a bridge, and we're going to put a toll road. We're going to make it a toll bridge. And every time they make something a toll bridge, then what they have done is they have basically created a new tax on the people that use that bridge. Oh, because, well, it's only fair that we pay for it because we're the only ones using it. Well, if we're paying for roads, just to keep this in context, if you're paying for roads and you are paying throughout the county for all the road maintenance, let's say it's all county, no big city in your county. So the county manages all the roads, bridges, highways, what have you. And all of a sudden, they're saying, well, for you to do that, we want you to actually, you know, take on, we'll do it, but we're going to put a toll. Well, then why don't you toll every bridge, underpass? Why don't you toll everything else? Because we're not doing it for those people over there. Why are we having to do this? Bottom line, the county's view should not be parasitical. The county's view and your county government and you as citizens need to say, we all need to improve the thriving. You don't want to create areas of blight in your county. You need to make sure that every part of that county has opportunities to thrive. And the reason blight starts to occur is because the focus and the money goes in developing new areas instead of, you know, actually ensuring that there's no advantages or focus of government to a specific area. That they maintain a uniform rule or a uniform standard in ensuring everybody has the same standards. This is why a mission statement is really important, to ensure that everybody has equal opportunity. I mean, when you get down to it and you're really getting down to becoming so efficient and so good, you should be able to say, you know, hey, everybody should have so much, it should only take so much time to be able to get to the county seat. And so if the county seat is not centered in your county, then you need to look at, you know, how you can either center it or how you can make it possible so that the people that are furthest away can still make it to the county seat at, you know, in the same amount of time for the most part. Let's say you have a long county. I happen to live in a long stretched county where it's narrow east and west, but it's long in north and south. And let's say that the county seat is on the north side. Well, then we need to either make sure that that county seat is accessible equally to all, or we need to reassess where that county seat is and move it so that it can be centered and equally accessible to all people. That, so, you know, Washington, D.C., they just had to take this stab and say this is, and for the most part, if you look at it, it's pretty well placed on the East Coast. It's kind of in the center. I mean, for the best that they had at that point in time, it was pretty reasonable for those in, you know, Massachusetts as well as Georgia to have to struggle to get to Washington, D.C. Now, when we look at the, you know, the national capital today, maybe it needs to be moved to Omaha or Wyoming. Maybe we need to actually revisit and actually change the capital and its location out of Washington, D.C. and let that part of that land be, you know, returned back to, you know, those states. Because Virginia, for the most part, has taken back their portion of Washington, D.C. The northern part, the Maryland part, is still basically allowing Washington, D.C. to still exist. But the question is, are we at a point in time where it just makes sense to move something? And in so doing, we can move it so that it doesn't need to be, because remember, the seat of government only needs to be to the size of what it needs. And it does not need the magnitude of 10 square miles. So what do we need it to be? These are just conversations on infrastructure. And I'm just going down rat holes here. But my point is that these committees need to actually have their focus. They need to have a mission statement. And in infrastructure, you need to start looking at those types of conversations that will actually help the county becoming an equal provider for all, in ensuring that everybody, nobody has an advantage to government, access to government. Nobody has an advantage in, you know, productivity, roadways, waterways, sewage, or what have you. You know, you can't necessarily create something overnight. Rome isn't built overnight, but you can create strategies and plans that everybody, I mean, it won't make everybody happy, but everybody will be in on a path, or the county and the focus of your local government will finally start going down this path. Now, what this committee is actually doing is it's creating a strategy for a civil input strategy for whom? For your county supervisors or commissioners. This is one of the reasons why, you know, most of the people that serve on this committee that are not actually the leaders are volunteers. But we want to get it to a point, and this is where you, all of a sudden you start seeing how great government can be if we make government local. We then have to fund these counties. Now, see, everybody says, well, if we centralize everything at the state level or at the federal level, it becomes less expensive. I disagree. We've only proven that everything that's done at the national level by centralizing and giving them the ability to choose, they're spending us into oblivion by spending trillions and trillions of dollars. And the way they manage it is hostile towards certain organizations, and it's very friendly towards others, like the union organizations and how they use spoils. It's really easy to hide the spoil system in, you know, this mass bureaucracy like the federal government, something that they can hide from everybody. But when you're actually looking at the county level, it's a lot harder to hide and it's a lot harder to justify. So eventually what we're actually going to see is that this unorganized militia in these counties will become government services that the county will actually be funding these committees. In other words, those people who are on it, and I want to be clear, if you look at what your county commissioner is making, let's just say your county commissioner is making $80,000 a year. That's, you know, that's a decent salary. Well, your position on that committee as the chair shouldn't be even $40,000. It's a part-time job, and it's only, you know, you're only getting compensated, you know, for basically the little bit of time that you actually spend, even though you may volunteer a lot. That's what we expect people to do. We expect you to get involved because it's the best for you, your family, and your community. When we start actually investing in ourselves without having to worry about being overly compensated, then our life actually does get better because we're not chasing greed and money. As you can tell, we're out of time, so we'll pick up where we want to finish up on the infrastructure and move through the rest of the committees in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.